The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Now, I am really delighted to be joined on the show by our Olympic sprint star, Rashida Adelecki. After making history in Paris, of course, she became the first Irish woman to reach an Olympic sprint final. And Allianz, of course, are proud to be global and local partners of the Olympic movement. They announced as well, people will have seen this, a renewal of that partnership with the Olympic Federation of Ireland last month, which reaffirms their commitment to supporting Irish athletes on their journey beyond Paris 2024. Rashida, just one of those athletes. It is a real, real pleasure. And thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us. We'll get to the track and competition and all of that in a moment, Rashida. But I mean, overall, how would you describe the general Olympic experience?
Yeah, the whole Olympic experience. I feel like when I walked into the village, I was in awe. It was hard to grasp the feeling that I was actually there at the Olympics after it being pretty much a lifelong dream. And that was definitely from the moment that I walked in and then settling into the village. And I didn't actually get to see that much of the village. I feel like I was very focused and I just wanted to make sure I wasn't, you know, doing too much to get distracted. So I really just went like to the dining hall and anything that was close by. But no, even just seeing all the other athletes from different sports and meeting a lot of them and getting to talk to them and understanding that there was athletes from different countries, from different sports, like a lot of like sporting legends. It was definitely a way that it lets you know that you are at the Olympics and even just seeing them. And other than that, I really actually felt like the world championships in athletics, because I feel like I was just seeing a lot of the same athletes I would see at world championships or European championships. So it really pretty much just transcended into feeling like a regular championship, which was good at the same time because it just relayed that level of like comfort.
Have you had then a chance to really sit down and digest the kind of the competitive side of it? Because I know people will know that you're kind of straight back into it to a degree, and myself and lots of others would have watched you on Sunday running in Poland, for example. I mean, have you had a chance to sit down and let all of that kind of percolate and digest?
Kind of, like I have, but I feel like things move on so quickly that you have the experience, you let it digest and then you move on. Like it's so quick because now I'm literally back into training again, back in Austin and like literally training today. And yeah, it's just, it moves on so quick. So yeah, you do have a time to kind of reflect, but you know, you just move on and then you go on to the next and to the next and to the next. So I think that's also a good way to look at it, though, because especially when it comes to a performance that you're not all the way pleased with, you just move on and then you go on to the next, because it's just so, there's more opportunities to be better. So, yeah.
Yeah. So talk to me about that then. You know, a performance, as you say, you might not be entirely pleased with. How do you think about your performance now?
At the Olympics?
At the Olympics.
Yeah, my performance, it wasn't a bad performance because, you know, 49.2 was still not a time that, you know, someone would be displeased with. But personally, I just feel like I had so much more to offer. And I still think that I was definitely capable of, you know, doing better on the day, but it just didn't happen. And I think there's so many factors that kind of went into that. I was really good in my prelims, like the heats, and then my semifinal was shocking. And then I found out it was because, you know, my blood sugar was low, my energy levels was low, there was just so many things that were wrong after the doctors did their like analysis on me right after the race, because I was literally in terrible form right after the race. I was so fatigued, I was so dizzy, I was feeling so many different things I've never felt after a race. And I didn't even run. I ran pretty much a similar time to what I ran in the heats. And if you saw in comparison what the two different races looked like, you wouldn't think that they were literally a day apart. So, it was a lot. But, you know, I'm definitely in that place where, you know, it happened. I came forth. You know, it wasn't what I wanted. But it's still an achievement in itself. And I'm still really coming down to understand that at the end of the day, people, like my coach was saying, there's not that many people who've ran 49.0 at 21. And you need to understand that a lot of the greats that you're competing with now are like in their late 20s. So you just have to trust the process. And it's hard for me to take that in because I know what I can do now. So regardless of the age factor, I know what I can do at my current age and my current situation. But it's just something I'm going to have to let go and take that fire and just allow it to motivate me going forward.
And has Coach Flo already identified things that you might do differently in the future? Or is it a case of him just saying, no, listen, the process has worked. Like, it hasn't worked out the way ultimately in terms of outcome that we hoped, but just trust the process? Or are there things he's kind of said, you know what, let's tweak this, let's move that. I'm not sure if that worked.
Oh, there's a lot of things. Okay. We're still in the phase where we're trying to figure out. This is my second year training for the 400, and we're still trying to figure out so many things. So even this year alone, we did so many things differently to what we did last year. And maybe that didn't work out the way it should have been. So we're learning along the way, because I'm not the same as every athlete. So, you know, he's tailoring a lot of things to me. So, yeah, we're going to go back to the drawing board again and see what we can improve on. I already know myself, there's a lot of things I can improve on, like my strength wise and like in the gym and here and there, even though I've improved so many things personally this past year out of being in college. And then there's always more to do. And I know as an athlete, I'm still kind of raw in that sense that I'm not perfect. So I know that there's so much more to improve, and that will also result in me dropping times and becoming a better athlete. So that also makes me excited, because if I'm running what I'm running now, without, you know, making all those tweaks, I'll hopefully be in a better place in the future.
When you were in Paris, how conscious were you of, you know, the excitement at home about, well, not just yourself, but about the Olympics in general? And I guess we had that series of days where it felt like Ireland was bringing home a medal a day, and it really had ramped up the excitement here. And then, you know, there was a huge focus on yourself as well from an athletics point of view. Are you kind of, do you tune all of that out when you're over there in the village, or do you use it to help motivate yourself, or are you even aware of it?
Not really, because I wasn't on social media that much until I finished, but I still recognized that there was a huge support. I already knew from the build up to Paris how many people were going to be tuned in. So I already had a feeling that it was going to be, you know, significant amounts of support. And even just from being in the stadium and people telling me what they've been seeing and what they've been hearing. So I already knew there was going to be a tremendous amount of support, which I loved. Motivated me to want to bring up, so even being in the stadium and hearing how loud it was, like, I was like, I have to bring a medal home. Look how many Irish supporters are out here with flags, and like, they spent their hard-earned money to come out here and get stadium tickets, and they're here for my event. Like, I have to do well because I want to make it worth their while. So yeah, I think regardless, I already had a feeling that there was going to be a lot of support.
Did you enjoy that side of it, the kind of personal attention, like the murals being painted on walls around the country? And I saw you sharing a lovely letter that someone had sent you as well about cheering you on. Does that sit easy with you, put it that way?
Yeah, honestly, I think it's beautiful. I think it's really sweet to be able to show that kind of support to someone. And as I said, it really motivates me, because in my mind, like, I still have so much more to achieve. Like, I'm just getting started, but people are already so supportive, so sweet. And it just makes me want to do more, because the more I do, the more people are going to be able to resonate with someone being from their same city or their same town. And, you know, just being an inspiration, being a role model, and just being able to show that I did it, you can do it too. And I just hope that I'm able to do that over the next couple of years, because seeing how many people have been supporting me, it's so touching, it's so heartwarming, and I really, really appreciate it.
And then kind of conversely, how do you deal with the toxicity that comes with fame?
Yeah, it's hard sometimes, because you know, there's a lot of good, but there's some bad as well. But honestly, I just try to focus on the good things and not the negative aspects of it, because regardless of what you do, how you do it, how well you do, how well you don't do, people are always going to have something to say. And that's just part of it. You know, from growing up, I've already knew that that's what I was going to be like. And you just have to deal with it. I feel like I have a pretty good way. I have a pretty good way of kind of isolating the negative things and focusing on the good and trying not to let it get to me. And I've like built kind of like a wall almost. So I think I'll be okay over the next couple of years.
Yeah, well, we all hope you will. Actually, on that, how much does, because I, you know, I would have picked up a little on this on things you said before, and even talking to David Gillick afterwards a couple of times, you know, a lot of Irish people might thank God, but they almost say it in a kind of as a turn of phrase, they use it. Whereas I kind of feel you use it more kind of intentionally. How important has faith been for you in kind of navigating all of this?
Oh, really important, because I feel like it allows me to take a lot of stress off my shoulders and a lot of weight off my shoulders, because it's like, okay, I've done what I've needed to do. So now I'm just going to leave it to you, God. And hopefully, like, you know, whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. And I think it just allows me to relax a bit more and accept whatever is happening, because it's all part of a process. And, you know, everybody, you know, has their own process, and this is mine. This is how it's going to be, because there's been times where, you know, I've been on top, and there's been times where I haven't. So, you know, it's just being comfortable with what happens and turning to the future and turning a new leaf. And if it's written, it's written, and just letting it be and knowing you can't control what other people do. And, you know, once you've done your best and you've done your best performance, and you just leave the rest to God. So, yeah.
Well, in terms of what's written in the future, there's kind of three Diamond League meets left. I don't know if the 400 women's where it appears, because there's different events at different meetings. But what's on the calendar?
So it's just the Diamond League final, really. That's in Brussels in about 2.5 weeks, I think. So, yeah, that's the last race of the year. So just hoping to be able to put a good performance on there, just close it out and keep training. And, yeah, that'll be my last meet of the year. Then hopefully get a nice break.
Yeah. Well, listen, you deserve it. Rashida, it's been a real, real pleasure. Thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.